Hi, this is Pastor Greg, and you're listening to Chosen Generation Radio. Get more at ChosenGenerationRadio.com. That's Chosen Generation Radio, where no topic is off limits and everything filtered through biblical glass.
My passion is the fight for freedom. My father fought for him World War II defending our country. Today, we are no longer fighting with guns. Instead, we are fighting an ideological battle for control of our country by contributing to causes that support your constitutional rights. I am Patriot Mobile.
Sexual predators and comprehensive sex education both break down inhibitions. That's what they start with. They also gain trust with the child and then slowly start to get them towards sexual activity.
Anything goes. You are teaching children adult child sex. You're teaching transgender issues. And, you know, children are moldable and influenced by that.
They said, okay, now we need you and your team to be able to explain what homosexuality is to a four-year-old student.
To introduce this kind of material at that age, frankly, it's child abuse.
You're going to teach our children that it's okay for any two children of any age, of any sex, to have sexual intercourse with each other as long as two components are present. One's using a condom and they both give consent. Did I hear that correctly?
It's not a neutral venue. There's no such thing. Okay, the schools are doing your job. They are discipling your children, but they're not discipling them in the faith of Jesus Christ.
It's only the exceptional child that even survives that system. Most do not survive. Most have not survived.
They believe that children are sexual from birth and that they deserve and have the right to be sexually active and to seek sexual pleasure. And if anyone is stopping them from that, then you are judging and oppressing them.
Even kindergarten now, they're wanting to teach them more and more perverse information and acts and put that into the children's minds. And once that poison is in a child's mind, it doesn't leave. They'll always remember what they learned. And it's by design, it's orchestrated.
In my humble opinion, it will be worse before it gets better.
Hi, I'm Tim Sheff, a certified natural health practitioner of over 40 years. I want to introduce you to a product that changed my life. The product's called Vibe, available at cgrwellness.com. I thought I was on a good nutritional program before I discovered Vibe. I was taking the traditional vitamin and mineral tablets, wasn't really feeling any different. So I tried Vibe. Vibe is an all-in-one vitamin and mineral supplement. It's a liquid multivitamin. It's cold-pressed, whole-food sourced, non-radiated, gluten-free, and has no pasteurization. Vibe is like fresh juicing without all the work. It supports four areas of the body: cardiovascular health, immune health, anti-aging, and healthy cell replication. Vibe is available in a 32-ounce bottle for home use or a very handy 1-ounce travel packet for life on the go. The first time I tried Vibe, I had more energy in about 20 minutes. I started thinking clear. Even believe I slept better. Get yours today at cgrwellness.com. Coupon code ChosenGenRadio at checkout and receive $20 off your first order of $50 or more. That's cgrwellness.com. Coupon code ChosenGenRadio. Get yours today.
These statements have not been evaluated by the U.S. Food and Drug Administration. Any of the products do not treat, reduce, cure, or prevent disease.
Welcome to Chosen Generation with your host, Pastor Greg Young.
But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should shew forth the praises of Him who has called you out of darkness into His marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy.
And now, Chosen Generation, where no topic is off limits and everything is filtered through biblical glasses. And now, here's your host, Pastor Greg.
And welcome back to Chosen Generation Radio, where no topic is off limits and everything filtered through biblical glasses. Thanks so much for being here. I know you have a choice in where you can listen each and every day, and I thank you for keeping it tuned here to Chosen Generation Radio. Well, I'm very pleased to welcome, as I do each Friday, to the program. He's been with us here for a number of years, over 10 years, in fact. He is also, by the way, just to let you know, he is available to come and speak to your group. He speaks all over the country to groups regarding understanding that the danger and the issue that is Marxism. His most recent book, let me get my fingers to work here. Yeah.
The red one.
I know. I have no feeling in my fingertips. None. So when you try to grab something with your fingertips, but you're fingertips are not sending any signal to your brain. Your brain says, there's nothing there. I will not squeeze. Literally. So when you're trying to do that, you get to a place where your hand is shaking. Because, how isometrics work, where you push against yourself.
Okay. Yes.
Okay. All right. So, I am pushing as hard as I can with the smallest tendons and ligaments in my fingers to try to make my fingers close and pinch. And my brain is sending, my subconscious is sending a reverse signal to fight against that.
If you can't use a fork
or a knife or a spoon.
Well, it's not easy. What I have to do is I have to use this portion of my finger for feeling, because I don't feel here. People ask me, well, how are you doing with your walking? I can get up. But here's the issue. At a certain point, because there's no feeling in the bottom of my foot, there's feeling on the side. My foot turns in the shoe. And I'm walking on the side of my foot. And I cannot stop it. Because my brain is forcing my foot to turn in order to create contact with something that touches the ground, so my brain knows that I'm connected to the earth and walking. And I mean, well, yeah, I just attempted to explain that to you, but even still, and I look at your face and there's kind of this quizzical look of, because it's like it's a foreign language. It doesn't make any sense.
And I have absolutely
no way to relate to it. Zero.
100%. I completely understand that. I don't know how exactly to get someone to be able to relate. It's just kind of like, we'll just get up and walk. That would be glorious. We'll give that. I do get up and I do try to, to walk, but there are some challenges associated with that. Because of, what's going on with my feet. That are interesting, to say the least. At any rate, that was my problem getting your books. But yes, here are the books, and this is the most recent book right here, Fundamental Transformation, What Did Obama Mean? And if there's, in my humble opinion, and these are all books that I would recommend that you get, and we have a package for you that will send you all of these books. You make a donation of $150 or more, and we'll send you all of them. But these two books right here in particular are worth the price by themselves. This one is Republic or Democracy, Why Does It Matter? And I've got to tell you that everybody I hear, even people that are on our side, Don, do not know how to explain this issue, and they consistently refer to a democracy over and over and over. And it is in part because of this fundamental change. But understanding that Obama's fundamental change that he did, that he helped orchestrate, every one of those pieces was already in place. Okay? He didn't invent... This is what I think is difficult for people to maybe sometimes get a hold of. I know, folks, you all know this because you watch my show and you're very engaged and actively involved. But I would suggest that there's at least 150 to 175 million or more people that may make the assumption that, first of all, that it's crazy. Obama couldn't have made all these changes that you think he made, talking to us, and so on. Well, he didn't. All of this had been put in place and was just waiting, lying in wait, like a virus in your system that's waiting for the right moment, the right elements to take place in order to activate. That's what he did. And that's why these two books in particular are so important to understand, knowing the difference between a democracy and a republic, and knowing how Obama managed to be able to complete what he said he would do, which is to fundamentally change our country.
Very few people understand that during the Constitutional Convention, and first of all, the Constitutional Convention was not organized to be a Constitutional Convention. The Constitutional Convention was organized to be a rewrite and to correct some of the mistakes that were there in the Articles of Confederation. But there were certain people, amongst them George Washington and James Madison, who intended, the minute they came into Philadelphia getting ready for the convention, their intent was to completely get rid of the Articles and put in a different form of government. And that's what they did. During the convention, what we call the Constitutional Convention, took about 3 months. It was mostly most of the summer in Philadelphia. During that time, two things of great import happened. One was that they were getting absolutely nowhere. Things were totally discombobulated. And finally, Benjamin Franklin said, "We will get nowhere unless we open our sessions with prayer." And that's what the convention started to do. And all of a sudden, things started to come together. The other thing that is not reported is during that Constitutional Convention, the concept of will we have a republic or will we have a democracy was discussed. Those people understood what a republic is. Republic is where the law is the supreme ruler of the land. Democracy is where the majority of whatever the ruling body happens to be at that time
dictates what's going to take place. Those founders discussed that difference. Will we have a republic or a democracy? They took a vote. They unanimously, I'm going to repeat that, they unanimously rejected democracy.
Wow.
They unanimously rejected democracy, overwhelmingly endorsed republic. And you need to know the reasons why they did that. And when they did that, they said, we will not be a democracy where some small group rules. We will be a government under the law, where the and then the Constitution is where our law is written. And when in that Constitution, they say that this is the only way something can happen, that's the only way it can happen unless that Constitution is amended. A couple of things that are import here. Number one, the only body in our government that has any authority whatsoever, any authority to make law is the legislative body. The legislature has no authority to abdicate its responsibility and pass on lawmaking to either the judiciary or to the executive. There is no place that I can find in our Constitution where an executive order has any validity or any authority whatsoever. It does in a democracy. It does not in a republic. Any ruling by the Supreme Court or any other court, according to our Constitution, is not a law. It is only an opinion. When Justice Marshall said the Supreme Court is the final say on the constitutionality of a law, he was dead wrong.
Yeah.
When Justice Holmes said freedom of speech does not allow yelling fire in a crowded theater, he was dead wrong. And what we have done is we have allowed our Constitution to be bastardized. And what we have done is we have gone, we've become much closer to a democracy. In fact, we are a democracy now. Our Constitution has virtually no authority whatsoever, other than in trite sayings. And what we have done is we have followed the very direct route that Lenin told us is critical. And Lenin said, democracy is indispensable to socialism, and socialism is the gateway to communism. We are now a socialistic democracy, bordering on becoming a communist state. And if you will support the Indian ministry of Pastor Greg and contribute to that, he will send you the 6 books, and you will get Republic or Democracy and Fundamental Transformation, What Did Obama Mean? And folks, all of these things I've talked about are laid out in detail there. And first of all, the ministry, to be able to contribute to spreading the gospel around the world, specifically in India, is what we are commanded to do. And we should consider that a privilege that we're able to do that and that God is allowing us to help contribute to his work. And what you will learn, I promise you, will be things that you weren't aware of before. This is not our transformation to communism is not something that just started yesterday. It's been going on for a long time. And Obama it was Obama who gave BLM legitimacy.
Yeah.
It was Obama who brought him to the White House, 18, 20, 24 times.
Mm-hmm.
It was Obama who said the police are racist.
Yeah.
It was Obama who politicized the Department of Justice and the FBI.
And let me speak to that for just a second. I had in the early days Hans von Spakovsky. I had Christian Adams on. J. Christian Adams wrote about that. Adams served for 2 years at the Department of Justice under George W. Bush. I'm not a huge Bush family fan, but I can tell you that under the George W. Bush Department of Justice, they weren't doing what they started doing under the Obama Department of Justice. He lasted 1 year in the Obama Department's Department of Justice, and he resigned. And he says in his book the reason why he resigned. And one of the big things that happened was is they hired 1,500 activist racist attorneys to fan out across the country and find issues and interject the federal government into local law enforcement and what was happening. And one of the first ones they did it with was that professor who had locked himself out of his home and was trying to get back into his house, and a young security guard stopped him and said, "Sir, can you identify yourself?" And the professor chose to say no. He chose to, all he needed to do was say, "This is who I am. This is my house. Can you prove it?" "Well, actually, I'm in my bathrobe. Let's just kind of hang tight for a minute, and you call it in, and somebody will be able to come out. But you know, when you guys get out here, yes, it will be able to be validated that this is my home, and so on. And by the way, thank you for doing your job. Thank you for protecting my property. I could have been some crazy person." Trying to get in here and it would have been me lying in my bed in the home asleep, and somebody gets into my house and could have harmed me. So thank you for doing your job. But instead it was, I'm a black professor and I'm black and I'm trying to get into my house, and so therefore, and you're a white security guard, so this is racial profiling. No, it's not. It's you're breaking into a home. That's what it looks like. All you need to do is, you know, keep it toned down. "Oh, I'm sorry. Yes, I'm Professor So-and-so. This is my house," and so on. Perhaps you could call. It's because it's university property. So guess what? They have a key. They could help him get into his house. And all he needed, he could have turned to the guy and said, "Man, am I so glad that you're here. You can help me get into my house."
And then what did Holder and Obama say?
"Oh, they said, we have a race problem here in America."
Yep. Yep. And we do. We have a serious race problem. And that serious race problem is causing division. That serious race problem is being augmented greatly by the left to tell us we have a race problem that we never had before that. And today, there is true hate amongst the far left towards anybody that is a law-abiding citizen. They don't. It's not black or white now. It's law-abiding. And if you're law-abiding, you are hated by the left. We were talking about earlier, is there any hope? Is there any hope for our situation? And of course, we live based by the word of God, and we know that there is hope in God. We know what's going to happen. But let's talk about in the immediate future. First of all, there is hope, but it does not lie in the Republican Party. We learned that. Political cycle. The Republican Party has no interest in winning. The Republican Party supports the uniparty. The Republican Party is made up of McConnell, McDaniel, and McCarthy. All three are true rhinos who are more concerned with keeping the deep state intact than they are in alleviating us from that horrible, horrible, horrible dictatorship of the deep state. Our only hope lies outside the Republican Party, with somebody who promises that they will absolutely dismantle that bureaucracy, the politicization of the Department of Justice and the FBI has to be totally, totally wiped out.
Yep.
We have to get rid of all of almost every career bureaucrat there is. And once that's the only way we're ever going to get straightened around is when we clean up and decentralize our bureaucracy. Bureaucracy is the soul blood of communism.
Well, the other piece to this, we cannot refrain from engaging in the moral questions and allow them to discard us as though, oh, those are just social. They're not. Look, our entire Constitution, you said, that the Constitution would allow for someone to yell fire in the theater. Here's the issue. A moral person wouldn't do that.
No.
A moral person is not going to march down the streets declaring death to Jews, death to Christians on the American street. They wouldn't do that. And you wouldn't have that. Our founding fathers, when they came up with the idea, when they said freedom of religion, I know this is going to fly in the face, but quite frankly, they saw a freedom of Christian denomination. Not now, there were other belief systems that were here, but it was clearly understood in their mind that Christianity would always be, as an overarching truth, the guiding principle for the United States of America. The gospel would be the underlying truth, and the Bible, the holy word of God, would be the underlying moral, concrete, absolute that would gird everything else. Because without that, we don't understand that it is God and God alone who gives us our rights. And anyway, 30 seconds. Go ahead if you'd like to add to
John,
that.
John Adams specifically stated, others refer to it as well, that our nation, our Constitution, our system of government was created and could only be kept by a moral people.
There you go. All right, I got to jump. Don, thanks for being with me today. I greatly appreciate it, sir. Back next week, and then I'm taking Thanksgiving week off. Just
I will too, then.
Put that up front. There you go. All right. I'll be back with more Chosen Generation Radio. Dr. Carol Lieberman is with me. And the moral question is a big part of our conversation coming up in the next 30 minutes.
So up next, we have ClanSlate. When you have different things like cancer and different diseases that are autoimmune related, it can really help with inflammation because you're helping clean the body. ClanSlate is a formula that's made from a natural orthosilic acid that basically is put into a formulation that's naturally occurring that uses different processes from polarization to heating to cooling to different types of catalysts which will go in the body and really help communicate to get rid of those things that don't need to be there. People don't understand why there's so many autoimmune disorders, but our environment's toxic. The land, air, and water have changed. We've been exposed to nuclear war, and the issue is if there's a nuclear bomb or there's pollution or there's war in one country, it actually affects everything up to the stratosphere. So we're all connected, and we've really got to clean things out.
You can pick up your clean slate today at cgrforlife.com. That's cgrforlife.com. Pick up your clean slate today.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, CEO of MyPillow. Retailers, shopping channels, and now even banks have tried to cancel myself and MyPillow. Well, during these times, your support has meant everything to us. So my employees and I want to personally thank each and every one of you by passing the savings directly on to you. We're selling the best products ever for the best prices ever. For example, we have my standard size MyPillow, regularly $69.98, now only $19.98 with your promo code. Or you can get custom fit with my premium queen size My Pillows, regularly $79.98, now just $29.98. Or my king size, regular $89.98, now just $34.98. So go to MyPillow.com now and use the promo code on your screen or call the 1-800 number below to receive this exclusive offer. If you do it right now, I'm going to include a free gift with your purchase. Thank you and God bless.
Hi, I'm Tim Sheff, a certified natural health practitioner of over 40 years. I want to introduce you to a product that changed my life. The product's called Vibe, available at cgrwellness.com. I thought I was on a good nutritional program before I discovered Vibe. I was taking the traditional vitamin and mineral tablets, wasn't really feeling any difference. So I tried Vibe. Vibe is an all-in-one vitamin and mineral supplement. It's a liquid multivitamin. It's cold-pressed, whole-food sourced, non-radiated, gluten-free, and has no pasteurization. Vibe is like fresh juicing without all the work. It supports four areas of the body: cardiovascular health, immune health, anti-aging, and healthy cell replication. Vibe is available in a 32-ounce bottle for home use or a very handy 1-ounce travel packet for life on the go. The first time I tried Vibe, I had more energy in about 20 minutes. I started thinking clear. Even believe I slept better. Get yours today at cgrwellness.com. Coupon code ChosenGenRadio at checkout and receive $20 off your first order of $50 or more. That's cgrwellness.com. Coupon code ChosenGenRadio. Get yours today.
These statements have not been evaluated by the U.S. Food and Drug Administration. Any of the products do not treat, reduce, cure, or prevent disease.
My passion is the fight for freedom. My father fought for World War II defending our country. Today, we are no longer fighting with guns. Instead, we are fighting an ideological battle for control of our country by contributing to causes that support your constitutional rights. I am Patriot Mobile.
You can support Chosen Generation and make a tax-deductible donation by visiting www.chosengenerationradio.com. And now, back to Chosen Generation with Pastor Greg.
And welcome back to Chosen Generation Radio, where no topic is off limits and everything filtered through biblical glasses. I'm your host, Pastor Greg, and I'm very pleased to welcome back to the program. Dr. Carol Lieberman joins us. Dr. Lieberman, welcome. Good to have you with me. Thanks for being here.
Thank you. It's always good to be chatting with you.
Well, we've got a really crazy, wild, and interesting topic, which has to do with a pastor, Fred L. Bubba Copeland, who sadly, he was the former mayor of Smith's Station, Alabama, as well as served on the Lee County Board of Education and was a minister. And he recently took his own life. And I'm going to let you tell a little bit of his story, and then we'll get into some conversation about the implications of it and share some thoughts back and forth on it.
Sure. Yes, here he was, Bubba Copeland, also called himself Brittany Blair Summerlin. That the name that sounds like comes right out of a romance novel, right? And that's what he used on his online and in for his alter ego, who was a woman. And he also used actually he also wrote stories, and he used names. This is sort of was in a way his undoing or part of his undoing, that he used names of at least two of the women in his town. And you know, it's so interesting though, is that people, the way the women found out was that people sent them the photos and you know, from these porn sites. So it obviously showed who was watching porn in the town. And true, you know, if they recognized these women. In any case, this man, he was going along, and actually, you know, he was a very good, From all accounts, he was a very good mayor and presumably a good pastor. He was a pastor of a Baptist church. And when there was a tornado in the town in 2019, and various high officials, you know, politicians commented, congratulated him. He was really appreciated for how he took care of the town after this tornado. And so all of these extracurricular activities, you know, having this alter ego, writing stories on porn sites and pictures, posting pictures and so on porn sites, you know, it doesn't seem to have interfered with his jobs as both the mayor and a pastor, until once upon a time, a news outlet decided to out him. And that is where everything fell apart. He apparently called a friend at the police or the sheriff's station, and he sounded really upset. So they came out to do a welfare check. And they found his car. You know, they were driving around looking for him, and they saw him in his car, and they did a slow speed chase of him. You know, they were just trying to keep him safe. And what happened was, at some point, he stopped the car, and he got out, and he shot himself. Because obviously the humiliation of all of this and the fallout, you know, was going to be too much. Now, he did actually, before he killed himself, he did, and when it came out on this news outlet, he did talk to his congregation and told them about this and told them that it was just something that he is like a hobby that he does. He also dresses up in women's clothes and so on, that his wife knows about it, and that it really wasn't anything serious. But apparently it really started bothering him more and more, to the point where it was too much and he killed himself.
Whew. So let's, I guess, you know, I mean, there's a lot to unpack as it relates to this. As a psychiatrist, from your perspective, would you say that this individual was suffering from a mental illness?
Well, you know, then that would mean that, I mean, he obviously did have some problems. But, you know, he wasn't really, so everybody has fantasies, not quite as lurid as his necessarily. And not everybody posts pictures of people in the town in their town on porn sites. But, you know, I think the thing where he really stepped over the line was that some of these stories that he wrote, including involving these, at least one of the women, if not both or more, had to do with his fantasy of killing them. You know, there was some violent slasher. They called it slasher porn. And he killed them so that he could assume their identity. Now, this was just his fantasy.
In fantasy, right, right. He didn't actually do it, but he wrote about doing it.
Right. And whose identity he assumed, he then had sex with her husband. And he said that that was like the ultimate proof that he was able to, you know, be believable. Even her husband didn't recognize that it was him instead of her. So, I mean, you know, clearly he does have problems, that he has that he has to engage in such a detailed, lurid fantasy life, but he hadn't really done anything in real life. And I don't think people should be condemned for their fantasies. Now, yes, I mean, there was obviously he really wanted to be a woman. That was, you know, this Brittany Blair, he called himself a transitioning transgender curvy girl. He described himself as that, as Brittany Blair online. And he said that loves smiling, clothes and shoes. Let's chat. So, you know, he was living out this other part of himself online. It showed that he was not satisfied. You know, here he was. I mean, a pastor, a mayor, married. You know, he had a very full life, and yet it didn't satisfy his real desire. And he dressed as a woman, but none of that was enough to satisfy his craving to be a woman. So that's why he expanded upon it online in fantasy. So does he have psychological problems? I mean, I guess, you know, you could say that if he was unhappy in his life, if doing it online, you know, having this fantasy life and online wasn't really satisfying enough yet, or if he wasn't able to carry out his jobs well as a pastor and as a mayor, then that would speak more to a diagnosable psychiatric condition.
Let me jump in here, just to help our conversation kind of move along a little bit. I mean, because I follow what you're saying. I guess one of the questions is, so at a certain point in the diagnosis books, homosexuality was considered to be a mental illness. You and I have had some conversations about that. I believe that you still think, I believe that it is a mental illness. It's not normal for a man to be attracted to another man. That's just not normal. So there are generally underlying issues that have created that thought process and change the way the brain is reacting to things. By the same token, transgenderism has also, at a certain point, now I don't know if it's been changed or I don't know if they updated the book or not. Is it still, because it seems to be that is now a very accepted thing. I mean, they're pushing it on kids, and you and I have talked about that, and I think we agree on that issue. This is an adult. I get all that. But from a psychological perspective, isn't it still considered to be a mental illness of sorts?
Well, it depends on who you talk to and when you talk to them. Because I was involved when I was a resident in psychiatry in New York, I was involved in one of the parts of the DSM, Diagnostic and Statistical Manual,
right,
that had to do with affective schizophrenia. And I saw how, even though it's, you know, supposed to be related to studies, and it is to a certain point, there's also a lot of politics. I mean, clearly when, for example, when there were more gay psychiatrists, all of a sudden, being gay was not considered a psychiatric
an illness. Disorder. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, that's what it comes down to. And
right.
Similarly, you know, with trans and it has to do with the reason why people become gay or lesbian or trans has to do with, well, not so much trans, because that's more of a social phenomenon now, but like gay and lesbian, it has to do with the hormones that are floating through the mother's body when they're in the, when the baby is in the uterus, and it has to do with the psychodynamics of the family during the earliest years of the child's life, like from 0 to 5 and 0 to 10. And depending upon what the relationships are with the mother and with the father and all of that, that is what put those two things together, the biological and then this psychological, that drives someone in one direction or the other. Is it natural? I mean, is it, you know, nature? I know, you know, of course, God did not say that it was, God didn't say that it was natural. And it really, clearly, if it was as natural as heterosexuality, we wouldn't have the human race.
Absolutely. That's exactly right. The reproduction would end, and we would have become extinct 1,000 years ago, at least. You know, especially at the percentages that it's happening today. And I think that's where the argument about the indoctrination, which I've warned about, I'm sure you did, others like us have warned that, you know, once you institutionalize the idea of same-sex marriage. Now you have to teach it in schools. Now you are indoctrinating children. And once you do that, that's why between 16 and 35, they say, you know, the numbers are as high as 39%, you know, say that they are in some way connected to that alphabet soup.
Yes. I know, but that has to do more, that's beyond the womb and beyond childhood. That is teachers and...
Right, indoctrination.
People from the left, yep. Teachers, or and kids. I think we might have talked about this once before, about how children coming back from 2 years of lockdowns, you know, not socializing and all that, are much more vulnerable to all the propaganda that is being taught in school, including, right. You know, you should be trans. I mean, look at all the attention that they get, like on social media, when they start talking about their transitioning and they get all these likes, you know, like, go for it. Obviously, that is incredibly unhealthy. And people are more and more, you know, are increasingly becoming trans. People are also increasingly detransitioning.
Chloe Cole talks about that amongst others. She's one of the names that people may be familiar with, but she talks about that. She says, you know, I was not a popular person. Nobody knew me. Nobody liked me. Nobody gave me any attention whatsoever until I decided that, you know, until I was led to believe that maybe I would be happier if I was a boy. And as soon as I came out and said I was trans, all of a sudden I had 1,000 friends, and I was one of the more popular kids in school, and everybody loved me, and I was just adored, which led to her, you know, allowing and getting her body mutilated, which she's filing a lawsuit about now. And she's not the only one. I had, you know, members of one of the detransition organizations on, I don't know, a couple of years ago, year and a half ago, something like that. But that is going on. But let's get back to our topic of Bubba and this particular thing, because I think there's several things in this. One of them, as a minister, as a pastor, okay, you know, obviously my biblical belief system would be that this was someone who was hurting. And I want to share something that I posted this morning on my Facebook page. And honestly, I wasn't thinking about this when I did it, but I guess maybe it fits. One thing I've learned over the years, wounded people are wounded. Wounded people cause wounds, and wounded people get their wounds opened up by other wounded people. Most people have wounds and are therefore wounded people. So love like you would like to be loved, and know that Jesus Christ by his stripes heals wounds.
That's very good. Yes, it is true. I mean, and I guess you could argue where I thought you were going was that how could he be a good pastor and say that he stands by the Bible if he is doing something that is forbidden in the Bible?
Well, and I think that this is part of the challenge that I argue is the problem within the church today. There's a saying in the Christian church, you know, that I'm a sinner saved by grace. It's kind of like standing up in an AA meeting, and AA requires you to stand up and say, "Hi, my name is Johnny and I'm an alcoholic," even though you haven't had a drink in 25 years, okay? Look, the word of God, Proverbs 18:21, says life and death are in the power of the tongue, and those that love it will eat of its fruit. In other words, what you confess, what you declare, what you believe is going to impact how you say things. So when someone says, "I am a sinner saved by grace," as a Christian pastor, I'm saying, hold the phone a minute. Because if Christ's sacrifice was complete, was full, and I know that from a Jewish perspective, the Jewish people are waiting for Yeshua to come, and I get that. But when he comes, whether you believe he's come or you don't, wherever you stand on that, when he comes, he's going to complete what God intended for Messiah to complete. He is going to save people in totality. As a Christian pastor, I believe that Yeshua did that. Therefore, he defeated sin. Now, it's not something that you or I do. We live it out on the other side of the cross. But it is something that is supernaturally done, but we have to accept it. We have to recognize it and then start professing it. And so Paul talks about the battle that we have. That which we wish to do, we don't do. That which we wish not to do, that we do. The struggle we have. But at the end of that chapter, in Romans chapter 7, he says, but for Christ. In other words, if Christ hadn't come and done what he did on the cross, we'd still be stuck in that place. This pastor was stuck in that place. I believe everything that's in the Word. I can agree with him that he did. I can also agree that even though he believed all those things, he still struggled with these other issues. Because he was still working through the process of applying what he knew was truth to those challenges. So that he could be free. And unfortunately, here's the problem, honestly, too. James tells us, when someone falls, walk with them. I had a gentleman years ago that came to my church that had an issue with alcohol. And he would come and he'd be doing okay. And then he would miss. And after I dropped everybody off, because I used to go pick people up on the south side of Modesto. And when I dropped everybody off, I would always swing by his house if he missed. And he'd come to the door and he'd be like, oh man, Pastor, I'm on a bender. I'd be like, hey, it's okay. Come next week. Come next week. Because he didn't want to be on that bender. He didn't want to be drunk. He didn't want to be back in drugs. He wanted to be free. Listen, I'll work with somebody like that until they get to their freedom, okay? Now, somebody who says, well, I believe all this, but I also, I'm just going to do it. I don't know where Bubba was in that process, but God, if he was still alive today, I would say to him, hey, you know what? I get it. I'll walk with you. Somehow I'm going to help you. We're going to get you free from that. We're going to get you free from that bondage so you're not living in that duality that is really scrambling your brain.
Yes, the suicide was really very unfortunate. One diagnosis might have been gender dysphoria, except that he really didn't seem to be disturbed by his longings to be a woman. He was satisfying them to some degree through this online fantasy life. So it really wouldn't technically fit under gender dysphoria. But if this news outlet hadn't come along and
exposed it,
exposed him, he wouldn't. I mean, he would have just gone along his way, and nobody would have known the difference. And he's never been arrested for anything,
right? I have to wonder. You talked about the slasher and the anger and those kinds of things.
Yeah.
I have to wonder if somewhere in his history, he didn't have a sense, either emotionally or physically, whereby he was abused by a woman.
Yes.
And therefore he had anger issues with that. And yet fantasized about how he would be if he was that. Having been wounded in that way. Does that make sense? Am I making any logical sense?
Yes, it could be. I mean, were it not for the slasher part, I wouldn't, say anything like that. But because, you know, he wanted to so it could well be that he was identifying with the aggressor. In other words, if a woman did abuse him, notably his mother, most likely his mother, then, you know, then he would have this underlying rage, and the dressing up like a woman and so on would be his identifying with the aggressor, his mother being the aggressor, and then still having, though, these underlying wishes to attack the aggressor, to kill the aggressor, right, which he did in his fantasy writings.
Right, right. And again, you know, all of these things from a scriptural, from my biblical perspective, are, these are all sin. We can say, you know, one, you know, the severity or the seriousness or however you want to look at it. But at the end of the day, they are all sin. And I think as a Christian pastor, my responsibility is to assure people that, hey, whatever you're dealing with, whatever your sin issue is, I want you to know that you can come to the cross and get healing.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, so to speak out and say, well, that's not really good, and I don't know, you know, that I don't perceive that as having been a good lifestyle that was going to go on indefinitely, per se.
Yes, yes, there was the risk, for sure, of him acting out some of his fantasies. That is true. You know, I wonder how his wife is dealing with the whole thing now. He killed himself on November 3rd.
Yeah.
It's still really fresh.
We have to pray for them.
It was also traumatic, of course, for his congregation.
Of course.
I mean, you know, and then you have to wonder, would they have rather known that this was his secret life, or would they have rather gone on not knowing about this? I think they would have rather gone on not knowing.
When I came to Texas, the church that I took over, I discovered after we had been here for about 6 months that there was in its history a pastor who had declared from the pulpit that he was leaving his wife for another man. And of course, the reaction of the congregation was they actually burned the pulpit and burned his desk.
Wow.
that was, you know, it was devastating for the wife and for the child, and it was devastating for the congregation, and quite frankly, it was devastating for that location, because I had people that said, I, you know, love to come to your church. You sound like a great guy, but I won't go in that building because that happened there.
Yeah, it is very strong. Because for however many years you go to church believing that your pastor is, you know, following the laws of the Lord, and then it's a betrayal.
Right.
It's a total betrayal.
Right. Yeah, no, absolutely. Well, number one, I think we both want to, you know, communicate that whatever your challenge is, again, suicide's not your answer. And I know there's a lot of that out there. There is a spirit of suicide that is running rampant right now. And I just encourage you. And look, I get under that attack, my own self. I really do. I'll just tell you, I do. But you know what? You've got to reject it. You've got to recognize that it is a spiritual battle. It is an attack on your mind. It is a spiritual battle, and you can walk out of that corner. It's like an imaginary corner that you find yourself in, whereby you feel trapped. And what you need to recognize is that what's coming at you. You can in your mind turn, and when you turn, it will blow right past you, and when you turn back around, it'll be gone.
Well, I just want to say, I think the reason why there are so many suicides, an increasing number of suicides, is because people are seeing how this country is being destroyed.
Yes.
By people who are trying to destroy it.
Yep.
The Obama, Biden, White House, and friends. And they don't want to live in a country where there aren't the traditional American values. And they don't see a way out. You know, some people are moving if they have the means to be able to do that. But otherwise, you just look around and you see how sad, you know, there's misery everywhere you look, or a destruction of American values. And it is overwhelming. It really does get very overwhelming. But the solution to that is, I advise people to become part of the solution, to do your part, whatever that may be, whatever part of traditional values you're the most upset about them being destroyed, then do something in that area to try to reconstruct them, to bring them back, to make people salute the flag and sing the national anthem and all of those things. You know, we each can do a little bit, and that if everybody does something, then it'll be fixed.
Well, it's a matter of spreading hope, isn't it, Doctor?
Yes.
It's a matter of spreading hope, and absolutely, you know, you can't eat the whole pie, but you can bite off your section. And I try here on this program to present, you know, a lot of different things that are being done, that are happening, issues with solutions, so that people can choose something that matters to them, that they feel like they can make a difference in.
Yes, absolutely.
And I love that. I love that recommendation. I thank you for being with me today. This was quite the topic to get into. It really, you know, I mean, just there's so much and so much more, even more that we could unpack that we obviously weren't able to get to. But I greatly appreciate you coming on. I always love and cherish our conversations.
Thank you so much.
We'll take our leave. We will be back with you on Monday. If you are struggling, you can reach out to Dr. Carol. It's drcarol.com. Or you can reach out to me at Pastor Greg at ChosenGenerationRadio.com. Pastor Greg at ChosenGenerationRadio.com. We will be happy to provide you with resources to deal with it. And whatever you do, know this, there is hope. There is hope. May God bless you. Thanks for being with me today.
Thank you.